everyone. Welcome to this edition of The Heart of the Matter. My subject today is a so-called Christian rock festival, a huge event called Lifelight. Now, this huge event has a huge effect on young people. We all know, of course, that there are such creatures out there called Christian rock festivals. Those of us from Pilgrim's Covenant Church have witnessed for Christ and given a scriptural warning concerning the evil represented and promoted at such festivals. What I'm saying is we have a number of times been in front of these things. We've been in front of the so-called Jesus People USA's multi-day festival in Woodstock, Illinois. Well, that event is now defunct. Praise the Lord for that. We've been to Life Fest near Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and we have also been to one of Franklin Graham's Rock the River events, complete with its crowd surfing and mosh pits. But don't be mistaken by thinking, as you hear of mosh pits and crowd surfing, don't be mistaken by thinking Graham's events are extreme, because they most certainly are not. They're just mainstream fare when it comes to these Christian rock concerts and Christian rock festivals. Now, there are Christian, and each time I say Christian in this context, please mentally put quotes around it. As I said, there are Christian rock concerts, and then there are multi-day Christian rock festivals. The sort we're going to zero in on today feature a large camping area. I'm saying we're zeroing in then on the festivals, and they usually have a large camping area with the crowd of predominantly young people from around the nation pitching tents for the duration, although no doubt some stay in nearby motels, and the locals who come may sleep in their own homes. But the camp feature is a big part of the Christian rock festival. And as to terminology, let me also mention that these rock events often include rappers as well as rockers. There is, as we've talked about on The Heart of the Matter, this so-called holy hip-hop movement, which involves rapping. Now, I know there are a number of these rock festivals around the nation every year. We've kind of kept up on it, and we've talked about it, and we've witnessed at some of these things. They're put on by various ministries, and I think it's more accurate to say various businesses. And of course, in other nations, there are also these things. But our focus today is the USA. And I want to tell you, the number of these rock festivals is growing. I mean, I knew there were quite a few of them, but I was just shown recently a partial list of this year's festivals, and I was shocked how many of these things there are now at the present time and growing. But on this Heart of the Matter program, in the time we have, we're going to focus on Lifelight. Now, I direct my comments today to discerning Christian brothers and sisters who understand that CCM and rap is nothing less than a corrupting tool of the devil, and not only a cash cow for many, but a form of what we may call golden calf worship, as we think of this so-called Christian music, Christian, and again with quotes around Christian rap and Christian rock. And these festivals are a prime example of that very thing that we can call golden calf worship, where it's supposed that the Lord can be worshiped under a syncretistic, idolatrous, heathenish form, such as the Israelites dared to do with their golden calf. And believe me, I am not at all overstating the case when I call what goes on at these festivals idolatrous and heathenish. Now keep in mind as we go along that the Lifelight festivals are a very fair representation of the CCM culture. So there's much insight to be gained by an assessment of such a festival, as we're going to give you today, just a little report on one of these festivals. Now, I'll plainly tell you this. This CCM and holy hip-hop movement is infusing into young people not only a lawless spirit, which rejects the supreme authority of the Word of God, and which holds Christians who are scripturally separated, sound, and sincere hold such Christians in utter contempt. Believe me, those of us from Pilgrim's Covenant Church have experienced derision, contempt, even some threats, and certainly vile language directed at us when we have witnessed in front of Christian rock festivals. And of course, we've heard it by email and phone messages as well. There is a generation nurtured by CCM, which will be one of the most antagonistic adversaries of true Christianity in the coming years. That's what's being raised up. But to our topic, LifeLight has two major festivals here in the U.S., one in Missouri, which is now passed for this year, and then one in South Dakota, which is over Labor Day weekend. If I'm not mistaken, this is where LifeLight started, at the site there in South Dakota. LifeLight claims their event in South Dakota is the largest free music festival in the world. And it may well be the largest music festival in the world. It's huge, but we'll see perhaps the devil's in the details with regard to the free part of that claim. Now, the festival has expanded beyond its original South Dakota borders. I mentioned there's another major LifeLight festival in Missouri. There are also festivals in several locations in Pakistan now, and in Haiti and Guatemala, and then also back in the U.S., again, Texas. Now, I'm going to focus on the LifeLight Festival held in South Dakota, and it's going to be held over the Labor Day weekend. But what I have to share, of course, will be common to other LifeLight festivals in the U.S., and I would think in other places of the world. Now, in 2013, going to the size of this thing, the South Dakota Festival boasted a 300,000 attendance over 3 days, 300,000. And from now on, I'm going to just simply be speaking of LifeLight with the understanding that I'm speaking specifically of the South Dakota event. Now, I want to go to the official LifeLight website and read you some things and comment on them as well, or explain them. So first this, from the official LifeLight website. The LifeLight Festival in Worthing, South Dakota is the only place you can spend 3 days listening to six stages worth of music, from the contemporary main stage to our alternative sold-out S-O-U-L-E-D, outstage, a kaleidoscope children's stage with activities to our rap, hip-hop, and local rock 360 stage. There is something to listen to no matter your mood. The music is just the beginning. We feature an on-site public skate park with motocross, BMX, and skateboard demos, as well as trick baseball demos. On-site camping for all types of camping enthusiasts. Plenty of activities for all ages, from inflatables to bungee and laser games. Late night dance parties with DJs. We encourage all to come early, stay late. Now that was off the official LifeLight website. LifeLight claims to be a free festival, but one thing is obvious. Here, too, the devil is in the details. This festival is held out in farm country, with the nearest town around 3 miles away, and that's only a small hamlet. And those who park there, if there is a place for a few cars to park at least, they would have to hoof it to the festival grounds, which is literally on a farm and surrounded by corn and soybean fields. So if you want to park at LifeFest, the official website gives us prices for that privilege. An early bird parking pass costs $100. Now, that's $100. The early bird parking pass cost only holds until May 31st. From then until Labor Day, you're going to have to pay $150 to park a car at LifeLight, $150. Now, we didn't find anything about free parking on the LifeLight website, but perhaps there's something we're missing, or perhaps not. One would have to wonder if there was any free parking at all. You'd think they would play that up. And why would anyone pay $150 to park a car if they could park free? Now, attendees are also asked to donate a minimum of $5 more to actually be on the grounds, but not to fear. When you fork over the $5, your name is entered into a lottery drawing, and for every $5 additional, your name's entered again for this lottery drawing. Isn't that nice? They're getting people involved in a lottery situation and the drawing of a grand prize, with the winner receiving the option of a 2-year vehicle lease, choosing from a 2014 Honda Civic Sedan, a 2014 Mitsubishi Outlander Sport, or a 2014 Indian Chief Classic, which of course is a motorcycle. Now, you're on the grounds, but where do you want to sit for the concerts? Well, there are some possibilities here. Of course, it seems that there are some free spaces where you could actually sit down or stand and watch the concerts. I'm talking now about the seating for the concerts. But if you want the really good spots, those are in the VIP zone, and you're going to have to pay. And let me give you some possibilities for seating here. We have, first of all, the VIP seating package one. It's $250. Now, for that, you're going to get one premium seat, one backstage tour, and you'll also get a parking pass, $250. Now, you got the VIP seating package two, and there everything doubles. And it jumps to $500, doubles the price, and you got seating package three, and so on and so forth, although everything is not doubling. The parking passes are held where they are. And you can go all the way on up to, here's seating package four, VIP seating package four, and that's $800. And then you can also, if you want to have private access to the sponsor tent, I don't know what goes on at the sponsor tent, but any donation above $1,000 will get you into the sponsor tent. And I suppose meet the bigwigs, maybe? I don't know. Now, earlier I mentioned that camping on the grounds of Lifelight, the free festival, would seem to be the way a very good many of the attendees would go, out of necessity for, I suppose, most of them. But also it's part of the experience that these young people want to have. Now, go ahead then and you can camp, but there's some additional costs involved here. So let's just run through those costs. We have this off the website, and what I gave you earlier about the parking came, of course, off the website. Lifelight South Dakota Camping. I'm just going to read through this real quickly. It says, notice, each site is priced for a maximum number of 6 people per site, except for the Sold, S-O-U-L-E-D, Out Village, 10 people per site. Please adhere to this regulation. And we're just going to jump through this. I don't want to go too fast, but here's prices that are fees per site where 6 people are. Here we go. You're going to have to pay for your water and electric $250. But it says sites with electrical hookups, 20 amps, and an available water source. There's a limited number, though, of those available, and they sell out quickly. So that's going to run you $250. They have a generators-only area, dash dry RV camper or tent. That's $200. It's a dry area, though. You have sites with no electric or water hookups. Generators are allowed. Let's see what... If I'm reading this right, you've got $150 there. You've got another site. We're just going to run through this where they have generators allowed. You have all different kinds of prices. Here's what's called a dry tent. You just put up your tent. There's no water. There's nothing but just a little spot. Put your tent. That's going to run you $100. And so on and so forth. Sold Out Village is going to run you $100, and they have something for youth groups, and it's all pretty pricey. So simply summed up, there are some of the basic costs associated with attending Lifelight Free Festival. And, of course, food and beverages on the grounds are going to be anything but free. And then there are plenty of other items set up. There's booze and so on and so forth, different things attendees can spend money on. Now, let me just mention that Lifelight is, like every so-called Christian music festival I've heard about, ecumenical to the max. No wonder Lifelight has been so enthusiastically endorsed by such new evangelicals as James Dobson and Luis. I have Catholic priests hearing confessionals at my events, Palau. The Luis Palau Association is actually a ministry partner of Lifelight, and other new evangelicals such as Rick Warren Andrew Palau have spoken at LifeLight. To give you a flavor of the sort of speakers that come and speak to these young people, also new Calvinist Francis Chan has spoken there in the recent past, and Ray Comfort from, is it Living Waters Ministry, I believe, a new Arminian, we might say, he spoke at LifeLight. In fact, he declared of his time at LifeLight, quote, "I was honored to speak at the LifeLight Festival and was treated with the utmost integrity and Christian love." And I mean, it's no surprise that Ray Comfort would speak at LifeLight. And by the way, this year, new evangelical Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis will be headline speaker at the LifeLight Festival in South Dakota over the Labor Day weekend. There's no surprise in that either. Now, the leadership of LifeLight states on their website, "We proudly endorse the Manhattan Declaration." Among the church sponsors of LifeLight are churches and denominations from all across the Protestant evangelical spectrum, including churches, except for, I might add, there's no faithful Protestant evangelical churches sponsoring, but there are churches even with women pastors, and also the Roman Catholic Church is involved in sponsoring LifeLight. I say it's very ecumenical. Of course, at LifeLight, evangelicals and Roman Catholics mingle as brothers in Christ all. And on that note, I want to just read a posting or an excerpt from a posting by a Roman Catholic priest. This is posted on the website for the St. Joseph Indian School. It's a Roman Catholic school, of course. The priest states concerning some time which his charges spent at LifeLight, quote, "All the Lakota youngsters had a great long weekend, and then this, the favorite stage," talking about LifeLight now, "seemed to be the Christian heavy metal, complete with mosh pit." Now, of course, you notice there heavy metal, and also mosh pit mentioned. Well, we'll get to the music aspect of LifeLight shortly. Now, I mentioned church sponsors of LifeLight. There are also many other sponsoring organizations, and so one has to wonder why so many sponsors are necessary, given the other ways LifeLight obviously raises very large sums of money. And remember, last year, 300,000 persons attended this festival and spent plenty of money at it, specifically on parking and camping and giving their entrance donation, and then there were concessions and so on and so forth. But coming back to ecumenism, as I mentioned, there are also Roman Catholic sponsors of LifeLight, not just Roman Catholic participation in LifeLight, but Roman Catholic sponsors. I mentioned Roman Catholic Church is involved. Another instance of Roman Catholic involvement from a sponsor standpoint is a very Romish national pro-life group, bizarrely named Save the Storks. Now, Save the Storks declares its purpose as this: "We offer a biblical response to the issue of abortion." And the Knights of Columbus, those defenders of Antichrist, is part of the Save the Storks support team, and their website is replete. I say the Save the Storks website is replete with a number of quotes from and pictures of Mother Teresa, and also quotes from priest Frank Pavone, whom we've spoken of many times. Pavone, though not of that order of priests, the Jesuits, is nevertheless a very Jesuitical, evangelical, talking preacher who is deeply embedded in the ecumenical pro-life movement. And I also wrote about priest Pavone in a book I wrote on that very subject, Ecumenical Pro-Life Movement. Now, Save the Storks is not only a sponsor of LifeLight, but also a representative from that organization speaking at LifeLight. Now, we need to move on to some of these Christian bands. You heard that there is rock, and you heard that there is rap. Well, I want to just acquaint you with some of the, at least several of the Christian bands which will be performing at this year's LifeLight, and which are typical of the bands and musical fare of that event. So let's begin with a rock band that's a little different yet from the main rock fare, you might say. It's called Broken Walls. Now, this band is part of the First Nations or Indigenous Peoples Movement, we might say the Christian wing or supposedly Christian, and that's a subject in itself. Summed up, this movement is all about Christianizing old heathen religions of all sorts, including very ancient religions, and maintaining the heathen culture, the dress, the tattoos in some cases, the piercings in others, the paintings, face painting, body paintings, et cetera, the headdresses, the heathen dress, sometimes scanty heathen outfits, in fact. It's all about syncretism, and all manner of peoples are involved and who supposedly worship God, supposedly the God of the Bible, by the dances and costumes and customs and instruments and chants and songs and ceremonies of their heathen ancestors. As they trace back their bloodline, they get to their heathen ancestors, and no matter how long it takes to get to them, in some cases, then they reclaim all these things, and then they say, well, now we're worshiping God this way, and there are all sorts of Christian ministries encouraging this, and it's syncretism. It's just demonic. You often see, though, in their gatherings, you'll see sort of the generic term creator is used. Nothing wrong with speaking of God. The true God of the Bible is the creator. However, they use that term as sort of a bridge. It doesn't offend others. They can go to these various people groups, and they can speak mostly of the creator. And so they all come together to worship the creator. That's the term that's often used in this movement. I'm not saying Christ is not spoken of, much more by some, much less by others, but I'm saying that oftentimes you'll hear the creator, the creator. Often these people at their rather bizarre gatherings speak of their common faith in the creator, and then some speak of Christ, and some don't. Now, this movement, not surprisingly, is supported by the Luzon Committee for World Evangelism. And we have this from Luzon concerning the indigenous people's Christian movement. I think it sums up the philosophy of all who support it. Luzon says the purpose of it is, quote, to discover together how redeemed indigenous culture can be utilized as an expression of worship and as a vehicle for evangelism. Now, surely you caught that. They redeem indigenous cultures, no matter how heathen, depraved, violent, dark, demonic these things are, they say we can take these very things, we can, quote, redeem, unquote, this, and use it as an expression of worship and as a vehicle for evangelism. Well, we know that is straight from the pit of hell. It's a lie. It's a lie. But this is what this Broken Walls Band is involved in. Now, there has been for a number of years a yearly World Christian Gathering of Indigenous People. If you can find the time, go to the internet and watch a couple of videos from those events. I did, and I can tell you this movement is clearly a work of the devil. You're going to see all sorts of ceremonies and dances and chants and instruments and costumes. It reaches the bizarre level, but it's also demonic. And you're going to see Indian warriors from the USA and chiefs and Indian maidens. You're going to see Scandinavians dressed up in their heathen ancestors' costumes. They had to go quite a ways back to reconnect. You're going to see natives from the South Sea Islands, and some didn't have to go so far back, and likewise decked out in their head hunting and cannibal ancestors' outfits and using the customs and the dances and so forth from their ancestors to supposedly worship God, and all performing various rituals and dances and songs and chants. And again, there's not much, but there is talk of Christ. This is supposed to be, after all, a Christian movement. But there's even more talk, at least with the research I did, more talk of just the Creator. I suppose it offends some people to speak too much of Christ. They want to evangelize, after all. Now, it's all just simply ludicrous as you watch this, but it's devilish as well. It's syncretism. It's the heathenization of Christianity rather than the Christianizing of heathenism. But as to this band, Broken Walls, which will be playing at the Lifelight Festival in South Dakota over the Labor Day weekend, before we hear some samples of the music of Broken Walls, I want to just give you some basic information on the group as taken from their official website. So reading from the Broken Walls website, here we go. Broken Walls was conceived in 1995 by Jonathan, and I'm a little bit concerned I might mispronounce the man's name, Maracle. Miracle? We'll try it. A Mohawk from, and it gives the territory in Ontario, Canada, while attending a conference called the Sacred Assembly in Ottawa/Hull. As different First Nations speakers shared, they spoke of the wall, so he was already involved in that First Nations movement. Because there is a secular, I suppose, or non-Christian, quote-unquote, side of this movement. But he was there, and as various First Nations speakers shared, they spoke of the walls that have been built up between the visitors to this land. That would be you and I. We're all just visitors to this land if we're not American Indians. And the First Nations people. So there's walls built up between the visitors to the land and the First Nations people. In this case, in America, then that would be the American Indians. Then Jonathan began to see the need for these walls to be broken, and he wrote the song Broken Walls on the spot and performed it on the drum at this gathering. Now, again, and that was off the website of Broken Walls, there is this so-called Christian, indigenous, or First Nations movement, and Broken Walls is part of it. Now, the Broken Walls website narrative goes on to tell about the drummer and the bass guitar player and tells us that this Jonathan Miracle, the Mohawk, is the lead vocalist and guitarist. And then picking up from the website account, here's some more. Broken Walls base many of their songs on the ancient sounds of the First Nations people of North America and often perform around their large powwow drums, singing songs of and to the Creator. The band has a team of First Nations dancers that often accompany them in full regalia when they perform. And let me insert here that I have watched music videos posted on the Broken Walls website, and what I saw was persons dressed up as American Indians and performing the heathen dances of the American Indians. Now, going on with the official website posting, Broken Walls travels year-round and has toured worldwide over the past 10 years, performing in such places as Peru, Mexico, China, Hawaii, France, Germany, Switzerland, Australia, Israel, Costa Rica, and extensively across North America. They have taken the healing quality of their music into many places where restoration and reconciliation were needed, with great results. Broken Walls has released 8 albums to date. Their latest CD, The Father's Dance, released January 2008, is an inspiring musical journey and a call to freedom. This full-band world music album has a distinctly Native American sound and beautifully unites traditional Aboriginal sounds of rattles, powwow drum, and Mohawk wind flute together with a blend of contemporary instruments. The Father's Dance presents powerful songs with a message of restoration for the family, meant to stir the heart to dance in the presence of our Creator. Now, that was off the website of Broken Walls. And before we listen to just two very short excerpts from two different Broken Walls songs, I will mention that the band, we notice this, sells turtle jewelry on their website. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, the band's founder and lead singer is a Mohawk Indian. At least that's his background as to his ancestors. Well, the turtle was sacred to the Mohawks and played largely in their heathen religion. And you can buy, then, turtle jewelry on the Broken Walls website. But let's just hear two very short samples of music from Broken Walls, one of the bands performing at Lifelight this year over Labor Day weekend in South Dakota. The first is from a performance of their song titled Southern Strait. So let's listen to just a very short excerpt of that. Now remember, we're supposed to accept that song is Christian and pleasing to the Lord. One more excerpt from one more song from Broken Walls. This one is titled Release the Warrior.
Release the Warrior.
So that was the band Broken Walls. That's a sample of their music. And that band will be performing at the so-called Christian Lifelight Festival in South Dakota over the Labor Day weekend, the festival to which 300,000, mostly young and vulnerable young people, will flock. Now, another performer at this year's Lifelight will be Michael W. Smith. You may have heard of him. He's been performing CCM for over two decades, and he is very influential. Now, this man is a great corrupter of Christianity and of young people. He's ecumenical to the extreme, and not just with regarding Romanists. For instance, in the past, Smith took part in a concert in Bahrain. It was called a peace conference, and it was organized by a committee which included, as Smith boasted, quote, a Hindu, a Catholic, a Muslim, a Protestant, and a Jew, unquote. Now, that concert was specifically titled The One Voice, A Prayer for Peace, and it was sponsored by the Bahrain Society of Tolerance and Coexistence of Religions. Smith boldly professed to have been greatly influenced by occultic rock musician Alan Parsons. He's charismatic. He's extremely antinomian. He's very well leavened with emerging church philosophy and ways, but you get the picture with regard to Michael W. Smith. The band Skillet will also be performing at Lifelight. This band has toured with the secular hard rock group Guns N' Roses, but of course, the band members profess to be doing such things for the glory of Christ, and it wouldn't have anything to do with broadening their audience and financial base, perish the thought. Skillet is comprised of two men and two women. One woman plays the electric guitar and keyboard, and she plays it with all the spasmodic, crazy movements of the secular rockers. In the video I watched, she had jet black hair, dyed hair, black eye makeup, black fingernails, black clothing. She was just almost laying on the keyboard and leering at the camera. Unbelievable. The other woman member of Skillet has a similar appearance, except she had in the video I saw, hair dyed an unnatural red. Also in some of the other video performances I saw of Skillet. Now, this woman is the Skillet drummer, and she flails around like a frantic lunatic, flinging her head and of course her hair this way and that, pounding the drums, just looking like she's a mad woman. The Skillet men, if I can use that identifier, maybe I'm stretching it just a bit, but they seem to vary as to their costume, sometimes looking more extreme, but always looking punky. For instance, with earrings, tattoos, punk hairstyles and dress, not to mention makeup. They wear makeup. And it's very, very obvious in some performances. I say they change their looks a little bit from one performance to another, perhaps. Sometimes they look just outright demonic. Other times, just very, very punky. Now, having described the Skillet band members, I will say they may change to one extent or another their appearance for various concerts or promotions. But all in all, it's a very, very bad picture right across the board. Now, the several recent videos I've seen of Skillet reflect the description I just gave. And let's listen to an excerpt from the Skillet song, Are You Sick of It? Tired of it, I'm over it, I'm bored of it. Gotta fix this, I'm sick of it. Now, that's a sample of Skillet's music, and they're going to be playing at Lifelight. And before we move on, I should mention that I've watched several musical videos of Skillet's Christian performances at different places. And the ones I saw, and they were recent performances, they were just diabolical. In one instance, in one case, they were playing with this huge screen above them, and it was filled with all sorts of demonic imagery, including skeletons. This particular performance featured strobe lights, which is not unusual for these CCM bands, playing in semi-darkness, of course, which again is not unusual. And there were also columns of fire shooting up, large columns of fire and clouds of smoke billowing from here and there. But this is just par for the course for the majority of the bands playing at most so-called Christian rock festivals and concerts. And like any rock festival, the behavior of the crowd is anything but orderly and godly. It matches the behavior on stage and the music. Now, I have another excerpt from a band which will be playing at Lifelight this year that is in South Dakota. We're just giving you a sample, not only of the so-called Christian bands playing at that rock festival, but at other festivals and concerts as well. These are the sort of bands that evangelical young people are watching, going to these events, and also buying CDs. And I suppose there's other things they can buy. I don't keep up with all that. And then listening to their music and being so greatly influenced by it. These are the bands who are having an immense spiritual effect and moral effects, none of it good, on a generation of evangelical young people. So there's plenty of cause here to be alarmed, and I believe it's to the shame of a multitude of evangelical pastors that they actually support such bands and music and encourage all this rather than standing up and speaking against it and condemning it. Now, the band you're going to hear, again, they're playing at Lifelight this year. It's one called Red. All the letters are in capital letters, R-E-D, and the song is Release the Panic. The members of this band, I might mention, are covered. They're literally covered with tattoos. I watched portions of two Red videos, and those particular ones I watched were ungodly and disturbing, to put it mildly. But before we hear Red, let me just read something from the website for Red, the official website for Red. It says, rave reviews for the band's live shows and albums have been featured in top media outlets, including Billboard, USA Today, Modern Drummer Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Guitar World. Red has become known for heavy, dark, driving, and expansive with Barnes' gravelly, guttural, from a croon to a scream approach, solidifying his stand among rock's top vocalists. Now, let me say this again. This is the band playing at Lifelight. And here they are on their website saying they're known for being having this music which is heavy, dark, driving, expansive, with the lead singer being gravelly, guttural, from a croon to a scream, and this has solidified his stand among rock's top vocalists. Well, with that, let's listen to a sample of the music of Red, whom we're supposed to accept as Christian brethren serving the Lord by their music. So that was the so-called Christian band Red, and that represents the music young evangelicals are listening to, supposedly worshiping the Lord by. It's the music they are in truth intoxicated and enslaved by. Now let's listen to one more audio excerpt from a band which is very popular among young evangelicals and which has played at Lifelight, and they're not, I want to stress, they've played there, they're not scheduled to play at this particular Labor Day Lifelight Festival, but they have played there. They're closely associated with Lifelight, and they did take part in the Lifelight Reset Tour this past April. Now, that tour is not a festival, but it's a series of Lifelight concerts in various cities. I just wanted to play an excerpt from this band because I saw one of their performances, and I was absolutely, well, I was disgusted, quite frankly, and they're closely associated with Lifelight, and they're very popular, so I thought I might work them in, even though they're not playing at this particular Lifelight concert in South Dakota. The band calls itself Family Force 5. It's closely associated, as I said, with Lifelight. Now, I watched a couple of videos from this band. The lead singer of this band is, to put it bluntly, he's very effeminate acting, to the point of being what might be called, what would we say, homo-ish. He wears strange clothing. It's not at all manly clothing. And in the video I saw, his clothing included red slippers. The rest of the band certainly presented no big contrast to the lead singer. But here's an excerpt from a Family Force 5 song titled Chainsaw. Now that was Family Force 5, and if you want a taste of how evil this band is and the depths to which CCM has sunk, go to YouTube. Watch a music video by Family Force 5, which is titled Zombie. You're going to be utterly shocked by the satanic, bloody, murderous, violent nature of that video. And we are hoping to do another program on a different Christian rock festival, which, if anything, is, I think, worse. Then it's even worse than Life Flight is bad and ecumenical and evil, really, as Life Flight is. Let's just be honest. It's an evil situation with this kind of music, these kind of performers, and so forth. But if we get around to doing that other special, we're going to tell you a little bit more about Family Force 5. But now you have a sample, the sort of bands and music Life Flight features, and which identifies what they're all about, and which will be playing at the Life Flight Festival over the Labor Day weekend. Now, this is the same festival which Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis is going to be speaking at. In fact, Ken Ham is going to be preaching on the Lord's Day at the grossly ecumenical Sunday morning worship service. It's going to be a Christ-dishonoring worship service on the Lord's Day. Ecumenical, he'll be preceded by two CCM performers. Now, I ask you, how does that conform to the commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? There is nothing holy about Ken Ham being at that unholy place on the Lord's Day in that unholy situation, preaching, supposedly, the Word of God. And one wonders which translations of the Scriptures Ham is going to speak or preach from, since Answers in Genesis uses a modern translation and markets a great number of modern translations. And yes, I can hear it now. Ken Ham is going to bring much truth to Life Flight, so we should all put our hands on our mouth and repent for expressing a concern about what he's doing. But the Scriptures forbid us from being involved with the sort of folks that Ham will be involved with at Life Flight, and with the sort of event that Life Flight is, and with the situation that will be there. And to make void those Scriptures with the excuse that, oh, we're bringing light into a dark place, is to say, let us do evil that good may come. Now, next I want to, as we near the end of this report, play a short audio excerpt of a video featuring Abigail Duhon. She is a singer and a dancer who's going to be performing at Life Flight in South Dakota over Labor Day, the Labor Day weekend. Now, this young lady's comments on worshiping God really, I think, reflect the philosophy and attitude of the CCM and Holy Hip Hop crowd. The simple fact is, these folks could not care less what the Scriptures tell us of the eternal holy God and the proper worship of God. Rather, they do what they want, they say what they want, they use what music they want, and then they justify it with the sort of inane comments which further blaspheme the Lord, the sort of comments that Abigail Duhon makes as she speaks of her own performance and, if I'm not mistaken, one of her own songs. Let's listen to that.
What's so cool about La 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 is it has a secular beat, and so it reaches kids who think Christian music is uncool. La 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 is all about praising God through dancing, singing, and whatever your abilities are to glorify in Him. And just simple words like La 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 can be a praise.
Well, yes, those comments capture the spiritual depth, don't they, of the CCMers and the sort of reverence, quote unquote, they have for our Lord. So perhaps you've had your fill of Lifelight, and in truth, we are working on a sequel, though, as I said, to this program, which will feature a different Christian rock festival, which is, if anything, even worse than Lifelight. But I want to just wrap things up by sharing just one more fact about Lifelight, because, again, what goes on there is representative of what's going on throughout the Christian rock festival and concert scene. The Lifelight festivals also feature late night dance parties with a DJ. And we've seen some of the audio, or I should say videos, of some of those Lifelight night parties, dance parties. And they're just raucous. They're obviously very, very worldly and very, very raucous. So in this sequel I mentioned, which we hope to air within the next month, I want to talk a little bit more about those raucous dance parties, very popular at these Christian music festivals, including I want to talk about one variation of these dance parties. They're called foam dance parties, which are also becoming popular at these Christian rock festivals. So as they say, stay tuned, and thanks for listening to The Heart of the Matter.